Last week we started looking at Daniel, and today, Lord said the same, we'll try to finish that up so that we can move on to the next example. Now, as we saw in last week's lesson, the beginning, the scripture that's on the front of the bulletin, it says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." What we learned concerning prayer is that it starts off with a desire from the heart. Everybody, as we said on last Sunday, prays. People, when they go to casinos, they're praying that they hit the jackpot. Or play the lottery, they're praying that they hit the jackpot. A fellow that's running from the police because he's committed a crime, he's praying that he doesn't get caught. But we have to understand what is an effective prayer life. Prayer is nothing more than our line of communication with Jesus. All we're doing is talking to the Lord Jesus. Now, we have to understand, as we saw from the book of Daniel, that our prayer, what come out of our mouth, has to line up with our actions. What comes out of our mouth has to line up with our action. And as Daniel showed us in the beginning, before we even see any of his prayer activities, we see how his mind was in the very beginning. As it says, it was a desire of his heart that he did not participate with the people that were not following behind Jesus or his God. That was the desire of his heart. Now, if you go on the inside of your bulletin, you'll see the diagram of prayer. And this is where the enemy tries his best to negatively impact our prayer life. He wants us to disregard sin. He wants us to disregard the things that are not pleasing to Jesus in our life, because he knows as long as sin is present, sin interrupts our line of communication. Isaiah chapter number 59 and 1 confirms that. It says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not short that he cannot save you, neither is his ear heavy that he does not hear you, but your iniquities," in other words, sin, has put a wedge between you and Jesus. Sin puts a wedge between you and Jesus. Sin blocks that communication. In other words, you may be talking to the Lord, but you won't hear nothing from Jesus. You can just be talking like you're talking to a wall, because the Lord is saying, "I can't hear you, nor can I reach you until you do something with the sin." And how we deal with sin, it starts with a desire. There has to be a desire for a different life, a desire to do things different, a desire to do things in agreement with the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, now, so we had several examples, as we saw on last Sunday, about what prayer looks like: crying out to Jesus, waiting patiently for Jesus, using his name. So we want to make sure that we keep all of that in the back of our mind as we see Daniel's examples. Now, last week we read the first example that was in Daniel chapter number 2, verse number 17. The second example that we're going to look at is in Daniel chapter number 6 in verse number 3. This is a very famous passage because it relates to Daniel in the lion's den. Now, most people know that story from a childhood. They see Daniel in there with the lions. They're familiar with the story. But let's look at what the scripture have to say and pull out some very important points as it relates to prayer. Chapter number 6, verse number 3.
Daniel was preferred above the present and present.
Yep.
Because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king sought to set him over the whole realm. Verse 4, then the presidents and princes sought them on occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him.
Verse number 10 and 11 now.
Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. 11, then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God.
Now, what we will be going over to chapter number 6. If you have your Bibles, you can turn over to Daniel chapter number 6 so that we can see some of the passages that I did not include in this on the bulletin. In the bulletin, I just wanted to talk about Daniel's prayer. I just wanted to concentrate on Daniel's prayer in the bulletin. But what you notice here, what we want to pull out, as we said earlier, that your behaviors or your action have to line up with what comes out of your mouth. Now, as we said in the beginning, chapter number one, Daniel said he desired in his heart that he would not defile himself. He desired not to be become like his environment. His environment, he was in around a group of people that did not believe in Israel's God. They were paganistic, meaning they believed in many different gods. But they did not believe in the God that had delivered the Jews or the Israel from out of Egyptian bondage. That was the true God. When Moses was at that burning bush and Moses said, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm the God of your forefathers, Abraham, Isaac." That God was the one that began the nation of Israel. And even from Abraham's interaction with that God, he said, "Who are you?" He's the one that created heaven and earth. He sanctified a group of people to reveal to all of humanity the benefits of serving the one true God. Now, Daniel was placed basically in the same position that Moses was placed in the sense that he was now under the dominion of a group of people that did not believe in that God. But as you see in chapter number 6, Daniel behaved the same way that he did in chapter number 2. In chapter number 2 and in chapter number 6, you notice in his house, he used that space to pray. He used that space to pray. He used that space to communicate with Jesus. And also, as it says there, not only the scriptures in chapter number 1 says he desired in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat and the king's wine or the dietary ways of these ungodly people. But he also says in chapter number 6, he had an excellent spirit inside of him. There was something driving him to keep on the up and up, to stay up in an above line of thinking. So he wouldn't defile. He didn't want to get himself contaminated by what was going on. So you have to do that when you pray. You have to really take into strong consideration your behaviors. You have to take into strong consideration your attitude, the things that you get yourself involved in, because again, as we said there on the inside of your bulletin, those things hinder your prayer. They block your communication. Scripture describes Daniel as having an excellent spirit within him, and also it says in the next verse that he was faithful. He was consistent with what he was doing. His behaviors were consistent. He had that excellent spirit inside of him. His behaviors were consistent. He was faithful. And the scripture says that there was no error or fault that was what? So his behaviors lined up with what was coming out of his mouth. He was concerned with his behaviors. What do you do? And I think all of us should do that. You know, we come in here for prayer Tuesdays. We come in here for prayer on Fridays. But I pray that's not the only time you get down on your knees. I pray that's not the only time that you talk to the Lord. As I said, most of your prayer time is going to be done off of your knees. I mean, as you're walking down the street, or as you're driving in your car, while you're sitting in your home, or you may be sitting on your porch. Prayer is your line of communication with Jesus. But you don't want to be one that just be talking in the air. You have to really take into consideration, what am I doing? Well, I'm asking Jesus to do something for me, but what am I doing? Does my life line up with someone that is submissive to Jesus? Someone that says, I want Jesus to be in control of me. I want Jesus to lead, guide, open up doors for me. I want Jesus to, when I get sick, When I get my back up against the wall, I want Jesus to rescue me. Am I quick to call this one or call that one or complain to this one or complain to that one? Or do I say, Jesus, you see what is happening to me. You see what I'm going through, and I need you to step in and deliver me. I need you to step in a special manner and do this thing for me. Why? Because I believe you're the only one that can do it. Many times you may come to a point in your life or an area of confusion, but you have to say within yourself, how do you deal with that? How do you deal with this when your mind is all over the place? How do you deal with that? Are you one that says, I'm going to go to Jesus to open up my understanding? I'm going to go to Jesus and ask him to bring peace into my mind? Or are you one to get depressed and down? And say, woe is me. Well, if you're like that, your life will never line up with Daniel. Your life will never line up with the behaviors and the results that Daniel got. You know, we got to consider those results. Those results are important. Well, what are those results? Daniel didn't ask for them people to speak against him. Daniel was just only trying to do right. They didn't like Daniel because of what Daniel stood for. They knew from the beginning, Daniel didn't want to eat what they ate. Daniel didn't want to do what they were doing. And they did not like Daniel because of that kind of living. And that same way you and I have to think. People are not going to like you just because of what you stand for. Just because you have a desire to do something right. Even say, well, Elder Scudder, you know, people will only remember, you know, the negative or the wrong. Well, when you got a mind to want to do right, people will try to bombard your mind with where you say the Lord has delivered you from. You know, try to make you feel less than. And that's that thing which you have to understand. What is that spirit? Who is the one that is driving that when you see people do that? It's not the individual, but it's a spirit inside of them. It's a spirit inside of them that's looking to find fault in you. Huh? Come on. I didn't say it. It's right there in the book of Daniel. This book of Daniel said these princes and these presidents, they wanted to find an occasion. They were looking, instead of them doing their job, they were focused on finding fault in Daniel. Huh? Everybody understand that? Instead of them being concerned about themselves and the things that they had to do, they were focused on one person that had a mind to live right, a mind to do things different. Huh? Come on. You say, well, why are you talking all about all of this? Because I want you to understand what's up against you. When you talk about you want to have a life dedicated to Jesus, when you talk about you want to be a person of prayer, you have to understand Satan is going to use whomever to be against you. But at the end of the day, when they start looking you over, when they start bringing accusations against you, just make sure they can find no fault in you. Huh? Make sure when they look at you, they don't see no fault inside of you. Make sure all they spew out is a bunch of past behaviors. And you want to look at them and say, well, yes, that was me in the past, but look at me right now. See what change Jesus has made in my life. Don't go by what I say. Go by how I live. Go through and examine my life. Put my life to the test. See if you find fault. See if you find error in me, right? That's the truth. Some folk will spend all of their days doing that. They get pleasure out of it. They get pleasure out of looking you over and seeing when you come up short. And when you come up short, they get to going. See, I told you, I knew it. But at the end of the day, they don't understand. Whether you find fault in me or not, that has nothing to do with your soul. At the end of the day, you're going to stand before Jesus by yourself. Everybody understand that? You can find fault, find error in anyone that you choose. But at the end of the day, you and I are going to stand before Jesus by ourselves. And we're going to have to give an account for the things that we do in this body, whether it's good or bad, acceptable or unacceptable. That's why you need to focus on getting your soul born again. You don't do anything else. Jesus, help me to get my soul right. Help me to get my soul out of condemnation. Huh? Help me to get my soul right. That when I come before the righteous judge, he won't see any sin. He won't see any fault. He won't see any error in me. I want Jesus, when he look at my life, I want him to see that the blood has been applied to me. Right? Come on. New birth starts off with repentance. That fella has got to say, Jesus, I'm sick of living like this. Jesus, I don't want to be categorized with the sinners anymore. I want you to turn my life completely around. I want to start doing things the way you say for me to do them. And then I got to go down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ. Why do I got to go down in the name? Because the name represents the blood. And Jesus said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. I won't bring you into condemnation. See, you're not just going down in the water in the name of Jesus just for any old thing. You're going down in that water in the name of Jesus Christ because you want to take on his blood. You want to become buried with him by baptism so that when Jesus sees you, he sees the blood, right? Come on, don't worry about nobody else. You can't worry about John and Jane and Mike. Why? Because when they look at you, all they're going to be looking for is fault. And I'm trying to tell you, let them waste their time. You concern yourself with what does Jesus see. I don't want Jesus to look at me and see any error, any fault that I desire to stay in my life. If he sees the error, if he sees a fault, he ought to see me saying, Jesus, take this thing away from me. I don't want this in my life anymore because I don't want anything to keep me away from you, right? That's true. Have you got to be born of both water and spirit. You need to have a mind to want to wait on the altar until you are endued with power, the ability to live right from on high. That's right. When you receive the Holy Ghost, that's power that comes inside of you to live right. It's not power to go against your will, but it's power for if you say, well, I have a mind to live right. See, that means you get power to help that will. I get the Holy Ghost to help the will inside of me to want to live right. You don't get the Holy Ghost to see how much wrong you can get away with. Holy Ghost is not for you. Holy Ghost is for those that want to live right. Those that want to do right. Treat people right. Huh? Come on, saints. That Daniel had an excellent spirit inside of him. Huh? You want your prayers to be answered, you got to have an excellent spirit inside of you. And when the Lord look at you, he has to find faithfulness. Huh? He has to see that you run when everything is fighting against you. That's why I tell you, whenever life seems like it's piling up against you, whenever stuff seems like it's hitting you left and right, you got to see, that's my time. That's my time to show Jesus just what he means to me. Huh? It's not those easy roads. It's those hard, difficult roads that the Lord is looking for a witness. He's looking for someone to stand up and say, Jesus, I'm here. Look at everything that tried to stop me. Look at everything that tried to hinder me. But when you see me, Jesus, I'm faithful to you. Huh? I ain't worried about nobody else. When you see me, I'm faithful to you, right? I ain't give up. I ain't throwing the towel. Huh? Come on. I know things get difficult sometimes. Life gets hard. Yes, it does. And I'm trying to tell you, don't think when you come in here, it's going to get any easier. Devil is your enemy. You need to know your enemy. Daniel understood that them people that were speaking against him were nobody but people that were motivated by the devil. Huh? And one thing you can do is just move out the way and let the devil fight the devil. But you do what you're supposed to do. Daniel didn't get into no arguing match with them. Daniel didn't try to prove that he was doing right. Daniel left them folk where they were. And he went home. Huh? He went home. He went on. He went around his own space. Say, well, who was in Daniel's house? We don't know. Oh, last time we saw that he was home, he had his companions there. Friends, it was only three of them. Huh? This time it don't say no companions were there. All it says is Daniel went home. Sometimes you may have to go in the house by yourself. And you got to make sure when you get in there, you do what you're supposed to do. Huh? Daniel wasn't concerned about the time of day. He just wanted to make sure that the Lord saw that he was faithful. Faithful in what? Faithful in getting on his knees. Getting on his knees, getting on your knees is an act of humility. Huh? Yes, you can stand. Yes, you can do this. But when you get down on your knees, that's a sign of humility. That's a sign of submission. That's a sign of saying you're the one that's in control. Huh? Come on, you all understand that? When you get on your knees, you're telling the Lord Jesus, you're in control. I can't do this by myself. Jesus, I need your divine help. Yes, they're speaking against me. And I cannot control what they say. I can only control how I respond. And I choose not to respond the way that they attacked me. Huh? What did they do? They were trying to find fault in Daniel. Daniel said, I don't have time to look at them and say what they're doing. All I've got time to do is get on my knees. Get on my knees and look towards deliverance. Jerusalem was the place of deliverance. Huh? Jerusalem represented a place of deliverance. Daniel said that's when Jesus comes down and communicates with us. When Moses built that temple and Moses had that thing the way it was supposed to be, the Shekinah glory of the Lord, it filled the temple. That's what Jerusalem represented, right? It represented the place or the space where Jesus dwelt among us. Huh? Come on. Don't you know that's what this church is? The church is the place where Jesus dwells among us. Huh? Church is not a place for you to see how well you fry chicken. It's not a place for you to see how well you make macaroni and cheese. Huh? It's not a place for you to see how many families you can feed. It's a place for Jesus to dwell among us. Huh? Come on, y'all understand that? When you come to church, you're looking for the Lord to dwell among you. You're saying, this is the place where I could talk to Jesus. If I can't talk to nobody else, nobody else won't hear me. Don't nobody else care about what I'm going through. I believe Jesus cares. I believe his ears are open to my cry. I don't believe that the Lord can make a way where there seemed to be no way. Huh? And you got to realize the devil's trying to keep you out the church. Huh? And even when you get in here, he's trying to get you distracted. He don't want you to pay attention to where you are. Huh? He wants you to miss the opportunity that you have to get down on your knees. Huh? Say, well, Scudder, well, I'm listening to you pray right now. But you can get down on your knees in your mind. Yes, you can. At the house of Cornelius, while Peter was preaching the message, and Peter told him the Lord had no respect to person. I believe all of those that were with Cornelius, and they got down on their knees in their mind while Peter was preaching. Scripture said the Holy Ghost fell. In other words, they had their mind in a position of submission. They were submissive to Jesus. They had an attitude, Lord Jesus, I'm looking to hear from you. Jesus, I need to hear your voice. I need to know you're speaking to me, right? I need to know you're speaking to me. I need to know you know all the issues of my life. And I need to know you care about me. All the people in the world. I need to know, Lord, you're not too busy. Huh? That you don't hear my prayer. Huh? Jesus, you're just that kind of a God that hears everybody. Huh? Isn't that a beautiful thing? On the day of Pentecost, we learned a valuable lesson. It was 120 souls in there. And Jesus met each and every one of their needs. Each one of them called on Jesus. Called him with a passion. Called him with a zeal. A sense of enthusiasm. And that same God came on the inside of each one of them. Scripture said the Holy Ghost rested on them. Huh? Cloven tongues like as fire. It rested on them. The Lord took control of the member of their body that they could not control. Lord took away the depression. Lord took away the murmuring and complaining. And he put praise inside of them. Huh? But they were there waiting. Huh? They were waiting to hear from Jesus. You have to ask yourself, why am I here? Why did I come to church this morning? You have to say, why am I here? Why am I here? I'm here because I need to hear from the Lord. I need to hear from Jesus. I need to know that the Lord knows all the issues of my life. And if anybody cares, Jesus cares. Huh? That's right, saints. Lord is looking for you to come to that understanding. Huh? I'm trying to tell you, you can't stop the people from doing what they do. People just got that spirit of wickedness running inside of them. Huh? Come on. And they're looking for fault. Huh? They're looking to find fault. You say you'll do something. They don't care about how tired you are. They don't care about what you got to do. They just want to find fault. They'll say it quick. But you said you're going to do this. You promised you would do that. You said you would do this. Huh? And they're just looking to find fault. Huh? Come on, y'all understand that? You can't control them. You can't stop them from doing what they're doing. You got to let that devil fight that devil. Huh? You got to let that devil argue with amongst themselves. You need to leave that devil where he is and go home. Huh? Go home and get on your knees. Hallelujah, Jesus. Go home and get on your knees. Look towards Jesus. Jesus is Jerusalem. Look towards Jesus. Say, Jesus, I got my face towards you. And I'm going to cry out with everything inside of you. Huh? Do what? In supplication. On the day of Pentecost, they were in prayer and supplication. That's the act of beseeching and begging and pleading. That's when you get down on your knees, you got to say, Jesus, please, Jesus, please, Jesus, right? I can't get through this by myself. I can't get through this by myself. I need you, Jesus. I need you in a special manner. Need you to touch my body. When you're sick, oh yeah, when you're sick, you need to go to the healer. Doctors are not going to understand. They're not going to understand your faith. No, they're not. The doctors are not a people of faith. They're not practices of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Evidence of things not seen. We are a people of faith. We walk by faith. We walk by faith. Even when you're tired, you got to keep on walking. Even when you're frustrated, you got to keep on walking. People say, why are you still moving? Because I'm a person of faith. Where is your faith at? My faith is in Jesus. I'm looking to Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of my faith, right? I need a door open. He's the only one that can open up that door. I need the Lord to restore. Huh? Make it new. Huh? Make it like it was, Lord Jesus. Make it like you designed it to be, Lord Jesus. Go in there and fix it, Lord Jesus. Huh? That's a person of faith. You're going before Jesus and you're pleading with him. Your act of supplication. It is the act of beseeching and begging and pleading. You cannot stop beseeching and begging Jesus until the Lord answers your prayer. Huh? Oh, yes. Daniel did not stop praying until they took him into custody. Huh? Daniel didn't start begging Jesus when the cuffs got on him. He was begging Jesus long before that. According to the scripture, he went into his house and prayed 3 times a day with his face towards Jerusalem. Huh? And when his accusers got the authorization to bind him up, they ran into his house. Huh? Everybody understand this? They ran into his house. Did Daniel try to fight them? No. He did not let them stop his purpose. He did not let them stop his desire. Scripture said when they came in, they saw Daniel on his knees. Huh? Come on. Verse number 11. It said when the men were assembled, they found Daniel what? Huh? How would a sinner find you? Huh? Come on, ask yourself the question. How will the sinners find you when they find you on your knees praying? Praying to Jesus, doing what? Begging him. Begging him to do what? Deliver, right? Begging Jesus to do what? Deliver. Huh? And he did not lose his faith in Jesus when the shackles got on his hands. No, he did not. He did not lose his faith in Jesus when they locked him up and carried him out of his house. Huh? Daniel knew what they had done. Daniel knew that the writing was signed in verse number 10. And he went home anyway. Huh? He didn't go to the king and say, King, be merciful to me. He didn't go to the king and say, King, don't you see what these people are saying about me? Daniel said, I'm going to go to the higher power. Huh? Don't you know Jesus is the higher power? Jesus is the greatest authority. You need to know who is your God. And you need to find your God on your knees. There's no other way to find him but on your knees with your face towards him, right? With your face toward him. Crying out to Jesus. Crying out to Jesus. And even when they come and find you crying out to Jesus, don't let what they do change your behaviors. When they were assembled together and they came in Daniel's house, they found him praying. They found him in supplication. That's in verse number 11. Huh? Come on. Verse number 12 says, they went before the king and said, don't you realize your decree? You made the law and you cannot back up from your law. If you promise that if we found anybody praying to another God other than the God that you serve, they would be punished. Huh? And the king loved Daniel, but he could not back up against his word. Huh? The king said to Daniel, it is not my desire to put you in the place of punishment, but I cannot go against my word. I pray that you pray to your God and your God heard you. Huh? I pray that your God is real. I pray that your God got power to deliver you. Because I've got to put you in the den of lions, right? I got to put you in there. Lord said they put that fella in there and they put a stone in front of the way. Huh? And the king's heart was heavy all night long. He was worried about Daniel. Huh? And the next day, king rose up and ran to the place where Daniel was. Come on, you see it? Where's it at? Verse number 19, the king rose up very early in the morning and went with haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried. Come on. Come on. Everybody won't be against you. Everybody understand this? Everybody won't be against you. But you got to prove yourself faithful to Jesus. You don't know who's going to be the one to stand in your favor. But you got to prove yourself faithful to Jesus. When they look you over, don't let them find no error. Don't let them find no fault. Let them find faithfulness inside of you. Huh? Even when they put you in a place that's less desirable, a place you did not desire to be, don't you lose your integrity. Huh? Stay faithful. Do what is right, right? Do what is right. Realize the Lord is looking at you. I don't care what nobody else see. Know that the Lord is looking at you. Huh? Come on. Yes. Oh, Daniel, servant. Come on. Isn't that something? See, something about Daniel's character made the king realize this God that we're serving is a dead God. He ain't got no power. He has no authority. But from day one, y'all understand this? From day one, the king did not forget Daniel's attitude. From day one, Daniel had this thing purpose in his heart. He was not going to eat the king's food, and he was not going to drink the king's wine. From day one, Daniel had a purpose in his heart. He was going to get down on his knees and cry out to Jesus, even if he cried out by himself. From day one. Huh? Amen. That's why the king said, you are the servant of the living God. What would they say about you? Huh? Come on, saints. What would a sinner say about you? Huh? I'm concerned about my message. I'm concerned about my lifestyle. I'm concerned about my walk and my attitude. Why? Because I know folk are looking at me. And I want them to see that Stephen is faithful. Huh? I don't need them to see nothing shaky about me. Huh? I'm concerned that my message lines up with my lifestyle. Amen. Why? Because I need the Lord to answer my prayer. Y'all understand this? I need Jesus to answer my prayer. I ain't talking to the air. I'm talking to the living God. And I need the living God to answer my prayer. When I feel like I'm weak, I need Jesus to give me strength. When I feel a little discouraged, I need Jesus to come by and encourage me. Didn't y'all hear Sister Scudder? Now, the thing didn't, you know, I was happy. Sister came this morning. Yeah, I'm always happy to see her. You know, I love her. I'm always happy to see her. But Sister Scudder needed the encouragement. She said, I'm going to put it out there. And I need the Lord to encourage me. And she had already made up in her mind that it wasn't going to happen because it didn't go the way she thought it was going to go. So yeah, come on, Saint John. I want you to understand this. I ain't picking on nobody, but I just want you to understand this. It didn't go the way she thought it was going to go. So it didn't line up. But she did not lose her faith in Jesus. Even when it looked like it wasn't going to happen the way that it was. And when they say, oh, no, it's going to happen this way. This is what the person going to do. She said, oh, wow, thank you, Jesus. Oh, she didn't lose her faith. And she praised the Lord. She praised him for doing what? Answering my prayer. Huh? Come on, saint. This is what you know. I'm trying to tell you. When you think you're in this thing called life all by yourself, somebody somewhere is praying for you. Huh? You need to know that somebody somewhere is praying for you. Praying for you to do what? Make the right choice. Come on over and make the right choice. Do what is right. Even when you got to walk by yourself, all you got to do is say, Jesus, I know you hear me. Even when it don't feel like nobody else, I know you hear me. And you are the living God. And you answer prayer, right? You answer prayer. And every time then, when the Lord bless them, Lord give them a mind to do this and do that, you got to let the Lord know, Jesus, I thank you. I thank you because you heard my prayer. You gave me the desire of my heart, right? Come on, everybody understand this? See, prayer is you opening up your heart to Jesus, making him know the desire of your heart. Huh? Come on, saints. If we want the people saved, it's got to be a desire of our heart. I don't care what they doing. I don't care what they saying. You stay faithful to Jesus. You keep on begging the Lord. Jesus, please, Lord Jesus. Have mercy, Lord Jesus. Make Satan release his hold, Jesus. And as you see the Lord move, you praise him. You say, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for answering prayer. I thank you for making the way. Every little bit. Every little step you see, you say, ooh, that was nobody but Jesus did that. Jesus heard my prayer. Jesus answered my prayer, and I thank you. Huh? Come on, read me a little bit more. Yes. Yes. Uh-huh. Okay. Keep on living. Not you, King. Huh? The living God. Everybody understand that? Do we know the living God's name? Huh? That's a beautiful thing, isn't it? Daniel didn't know the living God's name. But we know his name. Huh? And the same God that worked on the behalf of Daniel, he will. Everybody understand that? Not he might, he will. Huh? Y'all, do you all have that? You have that confidence? Huh? You got to have that confidence. Jesus will. Jesus will do what? He will shut the lion's mouth. Everybody come on. Come on, saints. The Lord will send his angel. In other words, the Lord will send a minister to me. Huh? Lord will send a righteous spirit. Huh? That righteous spirit will get into somebody. That's why the Lord told you, be careful. When you entertain ain't strangers. Because you may be entertaining an angel. Huh? It might be a righteous spirit that done took over that body. And you better be careful how you treat people. Huh? You don't know the very one that look like they'll harm you are there to protect you, are there to be there to speak for you. Huh? Lord, just don't send an angel. Lord, also shut the lion's mouth. Everybody understand that? I know this thing is getting past you. I know it's getting over your head. But I want you to understand that devil sets this stuff up and it's designed to bring you harm. It's designed for it to be your demise. In other words, for it to be the end of you. But look when the hand of Jesus is in the work. Huh? Look when Jesus' hand is in the work. This living God can be visibly seen. He can be visibly seen and he can be heard. All you got to do is open up your ears and listen to him, right? When he speaks, you want to hear him.
Amen. That's the truth.
When Jesus speaks, you want to hear him. When you see the Lord's hand just stand, you say, oh Lord, I see you stepping in right now. Huh? And it's not me. Huh? Ain't got nothing to do with me. This is all Jesus working. This is all Jesus moving. Huh? Daniel said, Jesus, he sent his angels and he has shut the mouths of the lion. Keep going. Keep going.
Before him, innocency was found in him.
Right? What? No fault. Uh-huh. Everybody understand that? Yes. I'm trying to tell you, saints, you can't let these liars mess your mind up. You can't let these evil doers, these people that got bitterness flowing all through them, you can't let them folk mess you up. You got to keep your mind on Jesus. You got to have purpose in your mind. I want to go back with Jesus when he comes. And I can't let bitterness flow through me. I can't let hatred flow through me. Come on, y'all understand this? I don't care what these folks say to you. I don't care what they do to you. You got to make sure you are found without fault. Come on, you can't control what they say. But the only thing you can control is what you do. And when the Lord look at you, you want him to find innocency. No error, no fault, right? You want the Lord to find no fault in you. You want him to find no sin, no wrong in you. Is that what Daniel said?
Innocency was found in me.
Hold up. Where was it at? Everybody understand this? Go right back to what I said. Your life has to line up with your prayer. We be wondering sometimes why the Lord is not answering prayer because our lives don't line up. Your life has to line up with your prayer. Amen. Does prayer work? Daniel didn't start praying when he got in the lion's den. You saw his behaviors before, right? And while they were signing the decree, Daniel didn't go run and try to plead his case. He didn't run over there to them and say, but no, don't you see what they're saying about me? They ain't right, they not. Daniel went home. Went home and got down on his knees. Right. What do you do? See, we got to stop letting the world teach us how to fight these battles. World be saying, oh no, get on the phone, tell them. What did such and such say about me? What did they say? You be so fast. Yeah, I told him. That's how the world play. That's the world's game. You let the devil fight the devil. When I say let the devil fight the devil, that's not me say that. It's right here in scripture. Daniel realized he could not control them people bringing all kind of accusations against him. He didn't waste his time worrying about that. Only thing he wanted to do was make sure innocency. That word is like a tongue twister. He wanted to make sure no fault was found in him. So he made sure he spent his days asking the Lord, take away that bitterness. Remove the distractions. Jesus, help me to stay focused. Help me to stay faithful to do what is right. Everybody understand that, saints? Doing what is right is not popular. It's not the do thing. Y'all tell that looking in here. Y'all done seen many people come in here week after week. Say, oh, there's such a beautiful message. But you know it's a life required with this. This ain't that kind of church you just come in here and be jumping and shouting every time you just got to get up in the pulpit. Most of the time you ain't going to shout no way. I don't never have no music playing behind me, none of that other stuff. Because I need you to hear. I need you to listen. I need you to think. Right? Huh? I need you, when you leave out here, I need you to hit that door and say, let me pay attention to how I'm living. Because I'm going to get down on my knees and I'm going to pray tonight. My mama taught me how to pray. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. You pray that. Some people don't pray that. Don't know nothing about that. Pray, well, I'm going to pray. Oh, God do this, God do that. Well, you pray. Let somebody run around your neighborhood with a gun or something like that. Huh? You get to praying real quick. God, please protect me. Please. Praying down. Huh? Huh? And you say, is the Lord going to answer my prayer? You don't even know. Because you don't know your... Is my lifestyle lining up? Mm-hmm. Huh? The only one that can answer that is who? Mm-hmm. You, too. You know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Don't nobody else know what you're doing. You know what you're doing. Right? Mm-hmm. You got to pay attention to that. Before you get thrown in the lion's den. We love to pray when we get in the lion's den. But the one thing I noticed, it did not talk about Daniel's prayer life in that lion's den. Y'all don't see it. Huh? Y'all see prayer was done before. We've been disciplined to pray when stuff get difficult. But that's not how prayer works. Lord, want to see what were you doing before? Everybody understand that? We run. Stuff get hard. You don't go, Scott, can you pray? I didn't just start praying for you because you got on the phone with me. We got to rush. Can you pray? We need you to come over real quick and pray. I didn't just start praying for you when you got on the phone with me. I've been praying all along. You think the Lord is going to hear me because you in the lion's den now? That's not how prayer works. Well, I know you're a man of God. But who are you? Yeah, you know, you say that about, but who are you? You think it's something special about me because I preach? You don't think I have to live right? Huh? Yeah, you got to do it, but what about you? Same way I live is the same way you got to live. Right? Huh? That's why I can tell you, follow me. Right? I can stand flat footed and say, do like I do. Right? This is not one of those dictates. Well, you go over there, you go do this. Well, Elder Scudder, you go ahead now. Elder Scudder, don't do stuff like that because I'm the pastor. I got to deliver the word of God. That's people's attitude. They put me up on this special thing as though when you come in my house, all I got is crosses all over the walls. Lord, y'all think that I'd be coming over my house and all she saw was prayer stuff all over the place? She probably said, man, keep me away from that quick. She come in the house, all she needs is angels. Well, these people are weird. That's how people envision when they think you're a preacher. Huh? All you do all day long. People think that all I do is do this all day long. Walk around the streets. Word of God say. Word of God say. Man. You got to live right. You have to live right. So what, you can quote a couple of scriptures. You got to live right. People treat you wrong. How do you behave yourself? I told y'all when I was at the Cornerstone man didn't care whether I was a preacher. I was standing in his way. I bumped him by accident. He wanted to treat me just like he'd treat anybody else. His pride was threatened. It was up to me to live right. Huh? What did he say? Man, do you know who I am? Man, I wait for you out. And I said, sir, I do apologize. I did not mean to do. I ain't got nothing to lose. I have nothing to prove to nobody. But the common fleshly thing was, who you think you're talking to? I've heard people say that about such a man. Ain't nothing between us but air. Where you going with that? How can you say you're representing Jesus thinking like that? Your life has to line up, right? If anybody had a reason to fight somebody, it was Daniel. Anybody had a reason to put their fist in anybody's mouth, it was Daniel. Imagine if that was a situation for today. The attitude that people would have. Who you think you, man, keep your name out of my mouth. I don't care what, just keep my name out of your mouth. That's the attitude. That's how they talk. And they be like, ooh, yeah, yeah, you heard what he said. Keep his name out of you. That's the attitude. Did Daniel give them that? Daniel went home. Huh? Not this. You be all out in the street, on the corner, fucking. But man, I was just, I don't know what you're talking about either. Daniel went home. Daniel got on his knees, right? That's why when your loved ones try to bring you into that mess, tell them no. No, 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 no. You're not going to cause me to lose my integrity. Because the mess that you got, you're gonna let me get hit? But that's only you. That was your lifestyle. If you want to be spared, follow me. Well, where are we going? We going to get something? No, we going home. And we going to get on our knees and pray. Man, I ain't got no time for prayer. Well, then I don't have no time for you. Right? Because one day, they're going to catch you. And they're going to throw you in to the lion's den. Huh? And don't call me. Huh? Because I ain't got no bail money. Huh? Huh? I ain't got no pieces up under my bed. Nah, none of that. None of that. None of that. None of that. Did we learn a valuable lesson? Amen. I pray we did. I just want you all to know this. And this is not a popular thought. But the Lord is paying attention to your life before you get into your mess. I know we want to start praying when we get into our mess. But you need to pay attention to your life before it comes. You need to know that when you got into it, Lord Jesus, I've done my part. Now I need you, Jesus, to come and prove yourself. Right. What will the Lord do? He will send his angels and he will shut the lion's mouth. Huh? Yeah. Come on. What, you read a little bit more.
Shut the lion's mouth that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him, he was done.
Yes.
And also before thee, O king, have I done no
hurt? Yes.
Then was the king exceeding glad for them. And commanded that they should take Daniel
out of the den, right?
So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him.
Jesus.
Because he believed.
Hold up. Yeah. What did the scripture say? No man of hurt was found where? Because why?
Because
he had faith. What did I tell you? We walk by what?
Faith.
We are a people of faith. Yeah. We take Jesus at his word, saints. Read a little bit more. I'm going to let y'all go.
And the king commanded that they brought those men which had accused Daniel.
and they cast them into the
Let the devil fight the devil. Let the devil fight the devil, right?
And their wives and the lions had the
master. Ain't that something? That's why you got to be careful who you associate yourself with. Did those children ask for that?
They sure didn't. No, they didn't.
Did the wives ask for that?
No.
But they became guilty by association.
Yeah.
That's why you got to be careful, saints. Be careful.
Yeah.
Be careful who you connect yourself with.
Yeah.
Same judgment fall on them.
Yeah.
Same way the Lord look at them.
Mm-hmm.
Read a little bit more. I'm going to let you go.
Mm-hmm. And then the lions had the mastery of them and break all the
When it said the mastery of them, meaning the lions was in control.
Mm-hmm.
He was on that territory.
Mm-hmm.
And it break their bones, right?
And Jesus, wherever they came at the bottom of the desert.
Jesus.
Yes. King Darius wrote up to all the people, nations and languages that dwell in the land and all the earth.
See what happens?
Yes. Here. I make a decree.
This is a new decree now.
And in every dominion of my kingdom.
Yes.
And tremble and fear
the God of who? The God of death, the living God, right? Yes. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Isn't that something, saints?
Mm-hmm.
Let the devil fight the devil. I'm going to give y'all a couple of scriptures. Y'all write them in your notes so that you can see that you don't want people to find fault in you. One thing is true. Jesus lived this kind of life. They couldn't find no fault in Jesus also. Pilate tried to reason with the people. And the scripture says that when Pilate made his decree, he said he could find no fault. Y'all remember that? He said, I could find no fault in him at all. Now, what will be said about you? Luke chapter number 23, verse number 4. Write it down. Luke 23:4. John chapter number 18:38. John chapter number 19, verses 4 and verse 6. And then the last is going to be Acts chapter number 23, verse number 9. And that's the example of Paul. But in all of those cases with Jesus as well as Paul, you're going to see the same wording where people were saying things about them. You have to have a knowledge of how Satan operates, saints. Do y'all recognize the devil when you see him? Y'all do know the devil talks. The devil whispers. And you can't stop him from talking.
No.
Do you realize you're just throwing more fuel on him when you argue with the devil? Devil say things, all manner of evil things against you. Y'all never had somebody just say evil things against you?
Mm-hmm.
Just be trying to talk you down, be evil.
Mm-hmm.
You need to recognize that's Satan talking.
Yeah.
And what do you do when you hear him? Resist him.
Yeah.
Don't argue with that devil. Leave that devil alone. Resist the devil. Let them go, and they may go find a little friend, a little clique, and say more things about you. Let them keep right on talking. Don't you get yourself involved with them. Follow the example of Daniel. Go home. I'm getting sick and tired of it. Go home. And what you going to do when you get there? You're not going to go and look and see what they said. You're not going to go find somebody and say, what did they say about me? Huh?
Yes.
Be all getting in that deep pit of sorrow. I don't understand why they keep talking about me. I didn't do nothing to them. Get out of it. Get on your knees.
Yes.
Get on your knees and talk to Jesus, right?
Yes. Yes.
Put your face towards him, right?
Yes.
Cry out to the Lord. Jesus, take that thing away from me. Don't worry about them. Take that thing away from me. So that when they do say whatever they say, it doesn't even have an effect on me. You think I care about what the people down the street say about how I dress? That means nothing to me. One thing is true, though. They're never going to be able to say they see me acting like no fool in the street. They may not like my style. They may not like the way I, you know. May not like my choice of music. But they won't be able to find any fault inside of me either. And at the end of the day, that's all I want. Okay? Trust y'all got something out the word. Hide the word in your heart that you may not sin against Jesus. Saints, I trust y'all are getting something out of these lessons. I want you to know, I don't want us to be a group of people that just go through the motions and stuff. We come in here for prayer. I don't want to just be a motion person. Just say, well, we checked off the list. We got had a good prayer service. No. You need some prayers answered. I need to hear some testimonies with the Lord. Answer some prayers. Right? That's my joy. My joy is to hear somebody say, the Lord opened up a door. I said, what? He did what? See what the Lord has done, right? Lord came by and he touched my body. See what Jesus has done. That's the results of when your life lines up with what's coming out of your mouth. If that's not happening, there is a disconnect. All right? So you have to be cautious of that, okay? All right, nothing else to be said, saints. First, y'all got something out the word. Hide the word in your heart that you may not sin against Jesus. Let's come on down for prayer. Pray for me. Say a little prayer for me. Oh, when you bow, oh, down at the altar. Oh, yes. Pray for me. Oh, say a little prayer for me. Oh, please don't forget to pray for me. Oh, yes, pray for me. Oh, say a little prayer for me. Oh, when you bow.